Hello there, welcome along. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's a Grand National special. Fantastic. We were denied the great race last year, but it is back in all its glory. Well, not quite all its glory, no crowds, but a fantastic field. Joining me, Bruce Millington, Graham Rodway and David Jennings from the Racing Post and Paddy Powers, Niall O'Reilly, all the prizes, all the extra places, and most importantly, hopefully, winning tips for the 2021 Grand National. Right then, boys, that's obviously going to be the main part of the show. We'll also see what else the lads fancy away from the glare of Aintree. We'll get the Saturday naps, and then it's an important day in the Irish flat racing calendar on Sunday when you have got Leopardstown featuring the Guineas Trials and the Ballysack Stakes. But it's all about Aintree. It's all about the 5:15. It is the Randox Grand National, 4 miles, 2.5 furlongs on good to soft ground. Can't wait to see who the lads fancy. Will they go for the red hot favourite Cloth Cap, or will they look elsewhere? Before we get the answers, let's get the all important Paddy Power prices. Niall, take it away.
Yes, we're paying 6th place in the race, which is obviously needed. Claw Cap is our 9-2 favourite. Burrows Saint is 8-1. Manila Times 9-1. Kimberley Candy 10-1. Any Second Now 10-1. Secret Reprieve, he doesn't look like he's going to get in, is 12-1, and then it's 14-1 bear.
Okay, right then. David Jennings, you can go first. Is this race all about Cloth Cap, and if he jumps around, he wins, or can we oppose the hot favourite?
I suppose the first thing to say, Bruce, is here for our listeners is that my record in this race is absolutely deplorable. I was only looking back at the last couple of renewals just to see what I backed, and it's been a horror show for me. Manila Rocco I backed in 2019, he was pulled up. Carlingford Lock in 2018, he was pulled up. And more of that in 2017, so he was pulled up. So what I've been trying to do, I realised on reflection, looking back, was trying to be too clever, trying to look for like the back class element and, you know, horses that have been completely out of form. But you're hoping, because it's the National and there might be this, you know, moment of madness, that this type of horse can come back to form. So I've kept things simple this year, Bruce. And for me anyway, this time last year, I was absolutely mad on Any Second Now for the 2020 Grand National. And to be honest, if it's possible, I'm even sweeter on him for the 2021 renewal. I just loved his run at Navan last time. Obviously, he was being kept for the race. The weights came out. Then he wins a Grade 2 over 2 miles at Navan. Ted Walsh won the race in 2000 with Papillon. Knows what it takes. This horse is loads of class. I think he's well handicapped. And just to me, he's a sort of obvious one that I think just sticks out. I think everything about him screams National. He's a Kim Muir winner at Cheltenham. He's won a big handicap. He's the speed to lie up with the pace early. He's a good jumper. He will have got plenty of practice, I'm sure, at the Curra. To me, Bruce, I like Any Second Now, but as I said, I have a deplorable record in the race.
That doesn't matter, though. I mean, it's 40 runs. It's not easy to pick the winner of the National. I don't suppose many people can say they, you know, they always back the National winner. It's just a hard race, isn't it? So I wouldn't beat yourself up too much about it. He's also got the first JP colours as well, the white cap, Any Second Now. I'll get your view on Cloth Cap before I hear what G-Rod's got to say, though. I mean, where do you see him in terms of his market? Is he ridiculously short, just about right? You know, what's your view on the fav?
Yeah, it's one of these ones, Bruce, that you think he's going to drift because it's the National. But when you kind of take it all into consideration and realise how well handicapped he is on the back of his Kelso win, you kind of say to yourself, well, no, actually, he deserves to be that price. Like, he's really well in. He's a horse that comes here in form. The ground is perfect. He's a good jumper. He races prominently. Like, if somebody said to you that they fancy Cloth Cap, there's no way you could say, oh my God, that horse has no chance. He's a very, very well handicapped horse. Like, he's running off 1.48. And to be honest, we know for sure that he's a better horse than a 1.48 horse. Gone up to 1.62. So in any other race, on any other day, at any other track, he would be a shorter price than he is now. So I can see that argument. I just think personally that Any Second Now is just a little bit better handicapped than Cloth Cap is.
Okay. G-Rod, DJ, very sweet on Any Second Now. What is your view of the great race?
Yeah, it's easy, I think, this year, Bruce. In all the years that I've been playing in the Grand National, I've never been so sure that I'd seen a Grand National winner as I was after Kimberlite Candy's eye-catching run in the Beecher Chase in December. He finished second that day, beaten a mile behind Vieux Lion Rouge. But he got himself into a terrible early position And I thought he would struggle to even get into contention. But once they got out on the final circuit, he was really tanking along up front, and he just blew up as though he needed the run. I think that he was very easy to back in the market that day. He drifted from a favourite in the morning to being 14 odd to one on the track, and he was a massive price on Betfair. I think he was almost certainly in need of that outing. Now, he goes well fresh, so Tom Lacey has not run him since. He's kept him nice and sweet and fresh for it. And I think he's going to run a massive race, Kimberlite Candy. I just feel I've been a little bit unlucky, though, because I did back him straight after that race at a good price, and I was just hoping that there might be a little bit of juice in the ground for him because he really likes a testing surface. And obviously, it's not come in his favour. It is going to be good to soft ground. So that is the one worry. But I just think this horse is made for the Grand National, Kimberlite Candy.
Okay, the lads have both gone for a 10-1 shot. DJ any second now, and G Rod, Kimberlite Candy, Niall O'Reilly. Who do you fancy for the National?
I have two. It's funny that the two horses the lads put up are in my 1-2-3, but my main bet wasn't put up by them. It's Manila Times for Henry de Bromhead with Rachel Blackmore riding. He's just a monster of a horse. I think he's got the most brilliant jumping technique. I doubt there's too many better than him in the field. He's been second the last twice in two very good handicaps at Leopardstown. Just looking in need of further when beaten by Off You Go over 2 mile 5 furlongs last time. That race has worked out extremely well. Before that, he was second to Castlebourne West in what's traditionally a very strong handicap to Paddy Power Chase over 3 miles, hitting the line really hard in the manner of a horse that maybe could come into his own over this type of trip or over more staying trips anyway. The ground is fine. I do think he's the best handicapped horse in the field off 1-4-6 or whatever it is. The one negative is maybe he lacks the experience of recent winners and maybe doesn't have the back class that some have in the last few years. But yeah, I'm really quite keen. My other bet is the one put up by DJ any second now. He's just got serious ability to be able to do what he's been doing over 2 miles, beating Castle Grace Paddy, who went on to run really well behind Easy Game at Fairy House last week. It's just, yeah, he's just got the ability, and he was able to win over 3 mile 2 at Kim Muir at the Cheltenham Festival, so he should stay. Off the others, I do like Claw Cap as a horse, but I just don't think he's as well treated as he looks. Like, people ask why English horses might struggle in handicaps against the Irish ones. This is probably case in point. He's beaten a non-stayer, probably Aso in Kelso. Like, he's rated 162 now. Like, would anyone back him in a handicap of 162? He's a 9-year-old. I think he'll go well. I don't want to criticise the horse, but he's definitely not that well treated to me. I still think he'll go off favourite, but just definitely not as far clear as he might look. I don't like Burroughs Saint. He has no form at all left-handed, which would be a big worry for me. He seems to hang to his right a little bit too. Kimberlite Candy, extremely solid for places. If the ground was softer, like G-Rod said, I'd probably be putting him up. The going stick is reading below 5, I think I've seen, so it's probably softer than maybe the description at the moment. So yeah, my main bet is Manila Times, and my second bet then any second now.
You boys have focused solely on JP McManus horses. Right, you boring bastards. A 9-1 shot, a 10-1 shot, and a 10-1 shot. No, don't get me wrong. We all like a 9 or 10-1 winner. But I'm going to give you a free extra go with a nice long shot. Something 25-1 or bigger. DJ.
Oh, no, mine is another JP McManus horse, my long shot. I think it's probably just a year too late for Annabelle Fly. Probably just. But the flip side of that is that he's better handicapped now than he would have been in the race last year. He's running off a mark of 155. Like, you've got to remember, this is a horse who was rated 167. He was second to Album Photo in a Gold Cup. Look, Tony Martin, he's one of these, you know, we saw with Arthur Moore the other day when he won the Mayor's Bumper at Aintree. He's just a genius, probably, from yesteryear, but he still can do it. He still can do it. And I just think with Annabelle Fly, like, he's been there, he's done it. He's ran well in the race. He was fifth to Tiger Roll in 2019. Yes, he's been disappointing since, but there was a glimmer of light in a handicap hurdle at Nace last March when he was third to Court Maid. And to me, he just strikes me as the type that has only had one aim for 2 years. And I think you need that for this race. I don't think this can be an afterthought. I think it needs to be a race that you've had at the forefront of your mind. And I think Tony has had it at the forefront of his mind for Annabelle Fly ever since he ran the race against Tiger Roll and he finished fifth. Dennis O'Regan is a good jockey booking. Like, he was 40-1 the other day. That seemed huge. I know Keels is quite keen on him as well. And Yeah, my outsider is another JP McManus horse. It's Annabelle Fly.
Who's your outsider, G-Rod?
I'd go for Mr. Malarkey. As you know, one of my favourite old theories is that when a trainer is retiring or passing on the licence to their son or a family member, they always want to get them off to a flyer. You know, they always want to give them a great chance to kick off with winners. And obviously, Colin Tizard will also be desperate to end his career on a high. And I think that Mr. Malarkey's got a good chance of running a big race. He likes decent ground. He handles actually any ground. And he bounced right back to form when he was third behind Clondor Castle last time in the old Racing Post Chase. So Mr. Malarkey for me would be my each-way pick at a big price.
Yeah, G-Rod, I wouldn't be so presumptuous as you about the ground. I just think in terms of welfare, they'll make sure this is definitely soft, 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 as soft as they can get it within that description. So I think there'll be some cut. And Niall, give us a long shot. I think that'll be the case. And Niall, you touched upon the going stick reading there being fairly low. So that would bear that out. But it's worth seeing what happens on the national course today. You'll get a clue from that. Who's your long shot, Niall O'Reilly?
Yeah, I actually quite like my long shot because I have had a few quid each way at 66-1. It's Talk Is Cheap for Alan King. They always kind of had the Grand National in mind for him. He obviously bolted up in Sandown in what's it called now? It's the Bet365 Gold Cup, or we call it the Whitbread. He bolted up there in 2019. It's like so impressive, beating a big field like as he liked, basically. That was off 145. I presume they've always worked back from the National. He obviously had this, it wasn't on last year, so he missed it there. This year he's come back. He's running a novice race at Suttle, shaped okay, then shaped really well in the Jumper's Bumper at Lingfield. He then went to Kempton, and he's disappointed there before, but I think he shaped better than the distance he was beaten. It's just impossible to get into a race at Kempton in those big field handicaps if you're held up like he was. And he potentially might have just had the National in mind and maybe wasn't fully fit there. He does shift to his right a little bit when he jumps, and that worries me slightly. But yeah, he's still only 9, 155, can jump well. I think he'll definitely outrun his price.
Excellent. This is all good stuff. Thank you very much indeed, chaps. Before we leave the National, I'm going to trouble you just the horses' names. Give us a 1, 2, 3, DJ.
My 1, 2, 3, Bruce, is Any Second Now 1, Borough Saint 2, I think he's got a great chance, and either Annabelle Fly or Mr. Malarkey 3.
Thank you very much, G-Rod.
Yeah, Kimberlite Candy, Cloth Cap and Mr. Malarkey.
And Niall.
Manila Times, Any Second Now and Kimberlite Candy, and then maybe Talk Is Cheap and Fort as well.
Lovely stuff. Brilliant. Okay, good luck with all those tips, chaps. We'll be back in a minute. In a minute. The rest of the entry card.
Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18plus.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. We've done the Grand National. Let's spin through the rest of the entry card. And we start at 145. With a race that's barely any easier than the National itself. It's a real test of this one. It is the EFT Systems Handicap Hurdle over 3 miles and 2 furlongs on good soft grounds. And Niall, 15-2, the field, according to Paddy Power's latest betting.
Yeah, this is so competitive. We're paying 5 places. Come On Teddy currently heads our market 15-2. T-Clipper 8-1. Champagne Platinum 9-1. Janica 10-1. Geoffroy 10-1. Southfield Harvest 10-1. Hometown Boy 10-1. And 12-1 bar.
Tough one this, G-Rod.
No, it's not. It's easy. Oh, I really fancy the Whirling Dervish. Is it Johnny Levins, I think his name is. He trains in Ireland and it's a very good flat horse, rated in the 90s on the flat. And I just thought that this horse showed a really good attitude last time when staying on strongly to win a handicap hurdle at Furlers. He looked beaten. Kelly Is Cool came past him on the bridle, but he really knuckled down, kept on strongly and got back up near the line. I think the key to this horse will be better ground. I think given his high rating on the flat, he's going to be very, very well suited by a switch to better ground there. I think you'll see significant improvement. It was heavy ground at Furlers, and he still got the job done. Yeah, really fancy him, the Whirling Dervish.
He's not the Whirling Dervish, he's just Whirling Dervish. I've just realised something, Jared. How long have I worked with you for? It must be 15 years?
Yeah, I think so.
I've just realised who you sound like because I've been watching Blackadder with my daughter who's been getting into it. You sound like Baldrick. That's amazing, that. Okay, anyway, Whirling Dervish for G-Rod. Who for you, David Jennings?
I like the two skeleton horses here, Bruce, and they're both big prices. The first of them is Ashdown Lad, who I actually tipped up on last week's podcast. I think, where was the race last week? Was it Newbury? Newbury? I can't remember now. Haydock, maybe. Maybe it was Haydock, actually. And it was a late non-runner. But he's had a wind operation. At the start of the season, I thought this was a real horse to follow. He was really impressive when he won Novice Hurdle at Wetherby. Then he won his first handicap at Chautauqua, beat Duke de Beauchesne. And I thought he was going to go through the ranks and be an Albert Bartlett horse. Now, he hasn't, but he's had a wind operation. He's rated 135. Like, I'd say they think he's far better than a 135 horse. And it's interesting that they have came here. And the other one who I'm really interested in is Tommy Rapper, who was second in this race to Au Petit Swan in 2019. He actually traded very short and running that day off mark 136. He's only £3 higher now, and he's only ran three times since. Bizarrely, and this is really bizarre, he ran in the Midlands National last time, Bruce. And the reason that's so bizarre is because he had such little experience over fences. He'd only previously had three runs. The official form line says he was pulled up, but to be honest, he was anything but pulled up. He travelled like a dream the whole way through the race. And, you know, four out or five out before the turn into home straight, I thought he was going to play a massive part. He looked really well in himself, and he just faded a little bit, and then Harry Skelton pulled him up. But Bridget Andrews is back on board. She rode him when he was second to Al Petty Swans in the race. And I'm really keen on the two Skelton horses each way here. I think both of them have got decent chances, and they're both big prices. That's Ashdown Lad and Tommy Rapper.
So he was anything but pulled up, but he was pulled up.
Yeah, he was anything but pulled up. But you know when you see P on a, you say, that horse ran terrible, he was pulled up. He wasn't, like, he was pulled up, but I think he was pulled up maybe coming down to the last. And I think he lost a shoe as well, which I thought was interesting.
Oh, okay.
So if you actually stop the race halfway through, Bruce, I'd advise you to have a look at it. He's real distinctive colours, kind of purple and orange. Have a look. He was anything but pulled up, even though he was pulled up.
Okay, Tommy Rapper, 22-1. Who are you going to go for, Niall?
Yeah, this is just so competitive. But T-Clipper, I thought ran really well in the Carl Cup, just looking every inch there. He's off the bridle quite early, but he stuck on really well. And I think he would have been second if he hadn't got hampered by Blue Sari falling in front of him at the last. He wants good grain, and the step up and trip should really suit. And I just thought it was interesting that Tom Lacey booked Rachel Blackmore. I definitely think he'd be involved in the finish anyway.
Yes, that is what they call an eye-catching booking. Let's move on to the 225, the Grade 1 Betway Mersey Novices Hurdle over 2 miles and 4 furlongs. And the Skeltons, Dan Skelton, rather, who trains both of DJ's tips in the opener, has the favourite here, Niall.
We're paying 4 places here instead of 3. It's pretty competitive with My Drug. We're heading to betting a 2-1. Ballyadam 11-4. The Real Deal 5-1. Manella Drama 13-2, Adramel 11-1, and 12-1 bar.
And we'll stick with you for the first tip, Niall.
I just think the Real Deal could be the value here. Look, he benefited from a complete pace collapse last time at Punchestown, when the horse at Willie Mullins that's done really well since Echoes and Rain and went off much too hard. But you still have to be a very good horse to do what he was able to do there. He was held up to an extreme, and he came through quite strongly. This step up to 2.5 miles should really suit, and he's got form and decent ground. Now, it was off a very low mark, but he definitely handles decent ground. He's obviously skipped Cheltenham. I know he had a slight setback, but he comes here a fresher horse. And we've seen this week already that the freshness angle can definitely be key in some of these races. Ballyadam has the form, and I'd make him fav, but he was very keen at Cheltenham and didn't jump particularly well either. And it just puts me off him a little bit, particularly stepping up in trip. I like My Drogo, but it's just English novice hurdle form, which isn't very strong, is it? So, yeah, not a big bet, but I've backed a Real Deal each way.
The Real Deal for Niall. G-Rod, do you have a cunning plan for how to find the winner of this?
I just think you back My Drogo and go and collect. I think that this horse has got legitimate claims to being the most exciting novice hurdler in Britain alongside Brave Man's Game. Now, of course, yes, Brave Man's Game was thrashed by Bob Olinger in the Ballymore, but, I mean, that was Bob Olinger and, you know, the Irish form has come out on top, but these aren't the top Irish novices, are they? Ballyadam was beaten an absolute mile behind Appreciate and wouldn't have even finished second if Blue Lord had stood up. And I can't have this Real Deal thing at all. It's made a ridiculous amount of progress, and the rest of them just aren't good enough. My Drogo will win this race.
Excellent. Classic Giro. David Jennings, where do you stand on this?
Yeah, bizarrely, I think he's right. I do disagree with a couple of things he said. The Real Deal is a very good horse and always has been and has taken time to mature. He's with a shrewd handler who knew he had a good horse and brought off a monstrous gamble. And I know people are against all that kind of stuff, but look, he did what he did. And this is a really good horse. I can see where Niall is coming from. Ballyadam made an absolute atrocious mistake at the second last at Cheltenham. Like, I know he was lucky to finish second, but because Blue Lord fell at the last, but I think you can probably half that deficit to appreciate it taking away that mistake. But at the end of the day, I'd agree with Graham. I think this is the most exciting young horse in England. Now, that's not a great claim to fame at the moment because there are not too many exciting young horses in Britain, but this horse, everything about him just screams to me that he's a superstar. And the one thing that's holding me back from saying that he's a superstar, it's just the fact that he's trained in England and the Irish novice form is so much better. But what he's doing as a novice, given his size, is exceptional. Like, he's the most imposing novice. He's like appreciated. He's that big. He's a big bull of a horse. And I just loved everything about what he did at Kelso. The way he just sauntered clear on the run and just loves his job is a lovely way of going about it. And yeah, it's just that, as Niall said, it's that nagging doubt that these English novices are just all absolutely useless. But I think this is one that isn't. I think he's like your typical kind of Arkle horse for next year that could continue to bloom. And I think the Skeletons will be bitterly disappointed if My Drogo is beaten.
Interesting. So Graham and David both think My Drogo is the real deal, but Niall thinks Drill Deal will win. We move on to the 3 o'clock. It's the Doombar Maggle Novices Chase. Over 2 miles, it should be a little bit easier because Shishkin, the mighty Shishkin, is in the field. Very short, I should think, Niall, just the 4 rivals.
Yeah, he's 6 on at the moment. Gumball is our second favourite at 10-1. Funan Bool Savola, 14. Elvis Mail, 16. And Longhouse Sale is 20-1.
Right then, lads, if you fancy Shishkin, nice and brief, give us the reason why and the forecast, and then we can move on, DJ.
Sure, Bruce. Like, this is deplorable stuff when you take out Shishkin. He'll win as far as Nico de Bonneville wants him to win. He's exceptional.
Okay, Niall?
Yeah, I think he'll win. In the betting without market, I thought Elvis Mail could be slightly interesting. Just ran well the last day at Carlisle. I think he's 11-4 in our betting without market. I thought he would be a bet.
Thank you. And Graham Rodway?
Yeah, I agree with Niall. Shishkin will obviously win. It's just very interesting, Elvis Mao in the without market, because you've seen a few races at Cheltenham where horses were actually ridden for places behind the superstars, El Dorado LN being a perfect example. And this Elvis Mao is always held up. I think he'll be held up to try and come through and steal the second late, and that might work.
Okay, thank you. Let's move on to a cracker at 3:35, the Ryanair Stayers Hurdle. 3 miles, 2 furlongs. And it's Time Hill versus Paisley Park versus Roxana. Really looking forward to this. Niall, what's the latest betting?
Yes, we're paying 4 places in this race as well. Time Hill is our 9-4 favourite. Paisley Park is 3-1. Roxana, 4-1. Lisnagar Oscar, 8-1. And then 14-1 bar.
G-Rod, who wins this? This will be good, won't it?
Yeah, it should be a good race, shouldn't it? I love Paisley Park. He's a cracking horse. He's been a cracking horse. I'm not convinced that Aintree is going to be his track. It's fairly sharp round there, and he is a strong stayer. Although I did ask Aidan Coleman that question a few weeks ago, and he said it won't be a problem, although I suppose he would say that. I just wonder as well if the ground might be a little bit too fast for him now at the age of 9. Does he just need a little bit of juice to slow them down? On this sort of ground, I think maybe Time Hill will just be a little bit too quick for him. He is the improver in the race, and of course he's going in there fresh. So I think the favourite will win, Time Hill.
Who do you fancy, David Jennings?
I fancy Time Hill, Bruce. I just think after Paisley Park comes here, I just think Time Hill is actually a better horse than Paisley Park. And I think if Richard Johnson had the Ascot race again, he'd love to ride it again. I know Paisley Park get into trouble and all that kind of stuff, but I just don't see how Paisley Park doesn't hit his flat spot here again. And I just think Time Hill is too good to let him back into the race. Obviously, it's a bit of a worry what he missed Cheltenham for, but you'd be hoping the fact that he's running, that he's fine. Tom O'Brien is a really good jockey. No problem with that at all. And Yeah, I just think, you know, he's 7 and he's getting better. Paisley Park is 9, who's been to Cheltenham. Don't think he's getting any better. I think Roxana will run well, and I think she'll travel into the race and she'll trade short and running. But will she be able to go by Time Hill? I don't think so. One of the big price brews that will definitely run well, because I think the track is made for him, is Dial Kerr, trained by Noel Mead. Of course, his claim to fame is that he hammered Monkfish in the maiden hurdle at Fairy House. He's actually been quite lightly raced since. I think he's only had 5 starts since then. He was 2nd in the Grade 2 at Coram Park last time behind Sam Spofield. He's been laid out for this race since, skipped Cheltenham. I think a flat track is what Dial Kerr wants. And I think at 20-1, he'll run well. But I think Time Hill will win.
Just a quick word on Richard Johnson, DJ. Obviously, you know, there's loads of reasons why it's sad that we haven't had crowds at the races. But it's really sad, isn't it, that Dickie hasn't had the chance to have that kind of farewell that McCoy and all the other greats have had with crowds, you know, applauding him, because he's just been sensational, hasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Just one tiny Richard Johnson story that I have. I'll be really quick. I was given this piece to do for the cross country chase 1 year. I was only starting out. It was probably 5 or 6 years ago. And it was about Balthazar King, who was coming back to the cross country. He was a cross country star, and it was all about capturing the atmosphere in the Balthazar King, you know, team and all that kind of stuff, and talking to them before the race, during the race, after the race, all that kind of stuff. And typical, this is my luck, and it happened to me actually with Zaban in another race with Andy Lynch at Cheltenham, where he unshipped Davy Russell at the start. Of course, Balthazar King, for the first time ever, like, gets rid of Richard Johnson after about a couple of fences. So I have to write this piece, and I'm going, oh my God, this is a bloody disaster. I have to write Balthazar King piece. And I had to go up to Richard Johnson after he's been dumped early in the cross country. He couldn't have been nicer. He was literally like, you'd swear he was after winning the race. He gave me his time. He talked about the horse. And I just said to myself, what a legend. The fact that he's able to do that after being gutted, I just thought it was a lovely kind of testament to the type of man that he is, and more luck to him in his retirement.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, DJ. Just a pleasure. I mean, I'm sure every journalist who's ever had the pleasure of speaking to him will vouch that he's never been rude or short with them. He's a top, top man. And I'm delighted he's got a new job with ARC as well, as a kind of track inspector. So anyway, notwithstanding that, let's get Niall's view on the Ryanair Stayers.
I really do like Time Hill. I think he's got a very good turn of foot for a stayer, and he comes here a fresh horse after what was a minor injury. I do think he's the horse to beat, but at the prices, I'm just drawn to Roxana, who goes really well here. Having gone close in the last running of this when beaten by the Harry Fry horse. I just don't think Cheltenham really suits her, particularly over that shorter trip. She just, for whatever reason, she just doesn't run her best there, in my opinion. This return to 3 miles on a flat track really pays to her strengths, and I just can't see her out of the 4. Look, if they're the same price, I'd be back in Time Hill, but I'd maybe rather back Roxana each way here.
Yeah, I agree with you. Those 4 places. I mean, I know a lot of people don't like backing relatively short horses each way, but if you're virtually getting your money back if she finishes in the first 4, Niall, I mean, we always say, don't we, joke on this show, an each way bet to nothing generally returns nothing, but she looks absolutely bomb-proof there. Let's move on to the 4:15 entry, the race before the Grand National. It's the Betway Handicap Chase, a Grade 3 over 3 miles, 2.5 furlongs. Kim Bailey and David Bass team up with the favourite. A lot of people will fancy that, but it is another tester. It's a really competitive card if you take Shishkin out. What's the latest, Niall? And give us your selection.
Yeah, so yeah, we're paying 4 place in this race. I agree with you. It's tricky. Happy Go Lucky heads are marked at 100-30. Cloudy Glenn is 6-1. Top Notch 15-2. Sam Brown 9-1. Spirit of the Games 10-1. Fagan 10-1. Snow Leopard is 10-1 and 11-1 bar. I do find this race tough, but I actually think I found an angle into it that I quite like, and I've backed this horse. So it was the rag of the field when I went to have a look at it. We're 22-1 at the moment. It's a Calypso Collange, but it is 33 elsewhere. But yeah, he really caught my eye in the Beecher a few starts ago. Looking the winner 2 out briefly before just getting outstayed late on by Vulion Rouge. I know Kimberley Candy was in 2nd, but I thought he ran really well. This race is obviously less of a test of stamina. It's 3-mile-1 and better ground. And he's actually £5 lower in the handicap here. And Ollie Murphy's been in very good form of late in comparison to what he was at that time. They stuck cheek pieces on too, which I think could really help him. Aintree can be a strange place, and course form counts for a huge amount, particularly over fences. Just not that many that haven't run to form here in the past. Sorry, not that many in this field have actually run here and run to form. Another one who has is of all the gin joints, but I just find it hard to back Colin Tizard horses still at the moment. So yeah, Calypso Calange, the outside of the field in a few places, which I don't think will last. I think he's worth a decent each way bet.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Niall. Graham Rodway, who's your selection here?
No flies on Niall, is there? I thought I was going to be the only one to come up with this one. Calypso Calange, yeah. It's got a huge chance here. Good, very good price, and the horse should have improved for better ground, I think. Was third last time out at Ludlow behind Head to the Stars, who travelled very nicely into that race. Maybe didn't quite get home as well as you'd have hoped, but I see connections have switched to first-time cheek pieces here. I think that might bring a little bit more from him. And as Niall said, he ran an absolute stormer in the Beecher Chase when he wasn't that far behind my my selection, Kimberlite Candy, for the Grand National. So it's Calypso Calange each way for me as well.
DJ, that is how you deal with having your thunder stolen. You would have been absolutely distraught, wouldn't you, if you'd missed out on that one?
Yeah, I'd probably hang up, Bruce. Look, I think this is a really interesting race. I can see where the lads are coming from with Calypso Calange, but I just think he's not that well handicapped. I think he'll run well, but I think he's in around 130 horse. Look, my head is wrecked with Sam Brown. I tipped him for the Hennessy, or the Ladbrokes Trophy as it's called now. I tipped him for the Welsh National. I tipped him for the Grand National trial at Haydock, and he hasn't showed up in any of them. So I don't know what Anthony Honeyball's grand master plan is. I have no idea. I presumed it was the Hennessy that started the season. This horse ideally wants softer ground, but he's ridiculously well handicapped, I think. I think he's touching on a 160 horse and he's running off 152. Maybe he needs softer ground to prove that. But, you know, his form from that Carlisle race back in November over 2.5 miles is cracking. He was only 3 lengths behind Imperial Aura, giving Imperial Aura £2. And that was a really good race. Brewing Up a Storm was in there as well. Harry Cobden, I think, is the best jockey in the race. He's got a tongue strap on for the first time. So maybe today is the day, or tomorrow is the day for Sam Brown. I just don't know. Maybe he wants off the ground. I really like Top Notch. I thought Top Notch ran an absolute cracker in the Paddy Power Plate. He was beaten 6.25 lengths by the Shunter. We since found out that that form behind the Shunter is cracking form. The Shunter was very unlucky not to win the Grade 1 on Thursday. He's off the same mark here. Luca Morgan, who looks really good, takes off £7. And I just think 3-mile-1 at Aintree is made for Top Notch. And he's had such a light season. He probably doesn't know himself. Like, he's only been seen twice. And to me, off 154, knowing what we know about Top Notch, I think he's got a great chance.
Lovely stuff. Excellent. Okay, loads more tips to come.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the final part of the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, David Jennings, Graham Rodway, and Paddy Power's Niall O'Reilly. We've done the entry card. We've got all the national fancies. Let's see what else the boys fancy on Saturday. As well as entry, they are over the sticks at Newcastle and Chepstow. And we've got all-weather fair from Dundalk, Lingfield, and Wolverhampton in the evening. Right then, don't give your naps away, but is there anything else you think the listeners should be zoning in on Saturday? We'll start with Niall O'Reilly.
I just have one, and it's in the bumper at Aintree. I didn't get much of a chance to look at the other cards, but Balco Coastal looked a bit of a monster last time at Kempton, beating a horse of Dan Skelton's by 17 lengths. That horse of Dan Skelton's went on to win a Stratford bumper where him and the second pulled way clear of the third. So I think he could be very good. This probably isn't the strongest bumper you'd see. But yeah, that's Balco Coastal. That's my only one.
That's in the 6.20 at Aintree, and Paddy Power go 5-4. G-Rod, what have you got for us?
Yeah, I just got one for you, Bruce. I've recently taken over handicapping the staying races on the flat for the Racing Post. So I know these stayers quite well now. And in the opening race at Lingfield, the 12.55, I quite fancy one. I think it's called French Mix, who really last time out got caught in a pace battle up front at Kempton and had no chance of keeping on to make the places, eventually finished sixth. But I thought that run was a good bit better than it actually looked, considering he cut out quite a strong pace with the leaders. And his previous run at the course over 1.5 miles was very eye-catching when he stayed on strongly to finish fourth behind a horse called Cafe Sydney. Now, he's already won over further than that distance, a mile and a half, so he's definitely going to improve for the step up to 2 miles. So the 12.55 at Lingfield, French mix.
Okay, we had a Blackadder-themed comment earlier in the postcast when it was revealed that you remind me very much of Baldrick. And to quote Blackadder himself, as far as French mix is concerned, he, sir, is a she, sir. It's a seven-year-old mare, G-Rod. David Jennings, who do you like on Saturday?
Not only that, I love the fact that G-Rod was like, yeah, I'm actually, you know, the handicapper for the stairs on the flat, and I fancy a horse. I think it's called and then he got a sex wrong.
I see a lot of stayers now, DJ. It's not easy to remember all their names. I know what they look like.
Yeah, no, I just thought it was vintage. I like two at Dundalk. Look, I know nobody's probably going to be too interested in Dundalk given it's Grand National Day, but one I really like in the 140, it's a horse called Abstract, who's running his first handicap for Dermot Weld, and Sam Ewing has been booked to ride. This is really interesting. He's a son of See the Stars, but his dam is Sense of Purpose, who won an illicit race over 1 mile 6, did really well for Meigler and Dermot Weld, and ran in 3 maidens last year, okay? And the final one of those 3 maidens in a 7 furlong maiden at the Curragh. And the winner was Van Gogh, who went on to win a Group 1. Colour Sergeant was second. He won a maiden at Cork the other day. Earlswood was fifth, and he won a maiden at Navan a couple of weeks ago. And Bear Story, who was a neck behind Abstract in eighth, he won a maiden at Dundalk as well. So the maiden worked out spectacularly well. Abstract is running in his first handicap here over a mile and a half, massive step up and trip, which will suit him really well. And he's running off a mark of 72. I'd say he's absolutely chucked in. The problem is he's got a visor on, so he's obviously not straightforward. But it's a terrible race, and he shouldn't be a terrible horse. So Abstract in the 140 at Dundalk. And one other one that's going to be a much, much bigger price. It is in the 325. It's the first division at the mile 2 handicap. It's Dazzling Darren. Again, Sam Ewing rides a really good 5 pound claimer for Gavin Cromwell. Back over a mile 2. Thought it was quite eye-catching last time over a mile and a half. Was just too fizzy and keen in the early part of the race. Has been dropped 2 pounds by the handicapper since that run. But I think a mile 2, a strongly run race around Dundalk is exactly what Dazzling Darrell wants. So I think he'll go well. He should be a double-figure price in the 325 at Dundalk.
Thank you very much, David Jennings. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with Graham Rodway.
My Drogo, 225 Aintree.
David Jennings.
I'm going to try and go out on a high on Grand National Day. I'm going to go for Tommy Rapper in the 145 at Aintree, 22-1 with Paddy Power.
What do you mean going out on a high? You're not leaving, are you?
No, but like it's Grand National. Yeah, there was a wrong phrase there. Sorry, I'm gonna.
Okay. I know what you're saying. Christ, I was worried there, DJ. I love
a lot of people were delighted, Bruce.
No, I was about to say I love pretty much all my colleagues, but if there's one who leaving the company would really hurt, it'd be you, mate, because we love having you around the place.
Thanks very much.
So guys, that's good news. And Niall, who's your nap gonna be?
Yeah, I'm going to go for it as well. I'll go 4.15 Aintree, Calypso Collange each way.
Fantastic. Right then, let's have a quick look at Leopardstown on Sunday, because as I said at the start of the show, some really important flat action. You've got the 1,000 and 2,000 guineas trials, and you've also got the Ballysack Stakes, which often throws up some classic contenders. So, DJ, perhaps you could start off, just talk us through what the big horses to look out for are, and any decent bets on the card.
Okay, so this card, it kind of gets lost a little bit because you have the hysteria in the Grand National, but it's always fascinating, Bruce. Really, really strong card. Guineas trials and the 210, this Ballylin stud, 2000 Guineas trial. Like, this is an absolute belter, so it is. It's really, really good, so it is. Poetic Flair is in there, Monosib. Like, horses rate 107, 111. It's a really good race. A Case of You runs here for Aidan McGuinness and Ronan Whelan. And I know Tom Siegel, our colleague, is very sweet on this horse for the Guineas to run a big race. And I spoke to Aidan, and he's seen if he stays here, we're going to have a crack at the Guineas, either in Germany or in Newmarket. And I think he'll win this. I just think he's got the fitness edge. He only ran 23 days ago. And I think he's a very, very good horse. In the 240...
DJ, I would say about that race is that if you look through the past winners, it's a really, really poor list of horses. I mean, I say really poor. It has very little effect on the actual classics themselves, is what I'm saying historically.
It does, yeah. And like, there used to be a theory, and I don't know if it's changing. I think it's changing a little bit with Aiden. But there used to be a theory, you know, you have to go straight to the guineas. You can't really have a prep run. And Aiden used to do that with a lot of his. But by listening to him, he seems to be running a few of them in the trials. Like when you go through the list of winners, the only one you'd really pick out is Gustav Klimt, who, you know, was a pretty decent horse. The rest have been really disappointing. Like Never No More won it last year. And I can see your point. But I take a case of you. I think he's pretty decent. So I'd be quite keen on him. I think he's about 9-2. The 1,000 guineas trial. This is another absolute belter. There seems to be just a whole host of top notch kind of 3-year-old fillies in Ireland this season. Shale is in there for Dunnock O'Brien. Obviously, she was really good last season. She won a Group 1. The one that I'm interested in here is a horse that's trained by Kevin Prendergast called Mena. Now, Mena has only won Dundalk Maiden last September, I think it was September, towards latter stages. But it was a good maiden. Fantasy Lady was second. Sister Rosetta was third. And Mena missed the break completely, was out the back, and absolutely bolted up. Ended up winning by a length and a quarter. But you could see that Mena was going to win for much of the home straight. I just thought she looked like a filly that could have a really good 3-year-old campaign. She'd be a decent price, I'd say, around 7-1. So Mena in that 1,000 guineas trial at 240 for me.
Okay. Gee, have you got anything to add on Sunday? Or it's Grand National Day and you've got all those staying horses to handicap. Do you want to shoot off now?
Yeah, I can't say that I have too much to add on Sunday. As I say, I'm handicapping staying horses in the flat, and they're in Britain, not in Ireland, and there aren't any flat meetings on Sunday. So that kind of puts the kibosh on that, don't it?
Oh, blimey. Okay, well, listen, G-Rod, you slope off because I know you're busy. But before we go, we'll get Niall's thoughts on Sunday. Have you managed to suss one for us?
Yeah, I have three, actually. In the 240, so the 1,000 guineas trial, I like Shale. I do like Joan of Arc, but it's been drawn in the car park. I just don't like that out there. A bit inexperienced. Shale has very good form and decent ground. And the current ground at Leopardstown is good to firm with snow forecast. So yeah, I just think it'll suit Shale. Ryan Murr is booked to take the ride, so I think she'll win that. Then in the 3:15, there's a bit of a cliff horse for me here. Breaking Story, trained by Sheila Lavery. It just travels really well in races, and it's the type of horse that draws me in. But I just think maybe this drop back to 7 furlongs and decent ground could really suit. Ran in the Irish Lincoln last time, but was badly drawn and in a terrible position, basically never got into the race. But yeah, like I said, it's drawn well here. Better ground, drop and trip, I think that'll go well. And then my last one is in the Ballysacks. It's just a horse that just really caught my eye. I was just so impressed on debut. Isle of Sark. It was absolutely smashed up in a Dundalk Maiden in November. I don't know what price we put it in. Big enough, any 3 or 4. Went off 5-6. Trevor Whelan rode that day and it never came off the bridle. It just looked a Group 1 horse in the making. If it can translate that form to turf, then I think it could take a bit of beating here.
Lovely stuff. Okay, before we go, chaps, where are you going to be watching the Grand National? Niall, are you going to be hard at it in the Paddy Power office or probably at home? You're still remote working?
Yeah, I'm at home, but yeah, I'll be working, hide behind the couch.
Who's your worst loser? Who's the company's worst loser at the moment on the National?
At the moment, it's sub-lieutenant Manella Times. Rachel Blackmore is starting to creep up a little bit, though, so that if I had to guess what would be our biggest loser, it could potentially be
that. Happy enough with Cloth Cat winning as things stand?
It'd be a bad loser anti-post, but yeah, that could pale in comparison to what we might take tomorrow. So yeah, like I remember Tiger Roll when he won his second Grand National was favoured and everyone was expecting it to be a big loser and it ended up being a winner for us. So it could be similar with Claw Calf tomorrow. I'm not seeing a lot of love for him. So yeah.
Interesting. DJ, what does National Day hold for you, my friend?
I'm working as well, Bruce. So I presume I'll have a few maybe reports to do remotely and stuff like that. I just love the buzz of a Grand National Day. And one thing I'll say to Niall as well, a load of my mates, they tune in and out of the podcast, But I will get a message in about an hour's time or 2 hours' time when this comes out to tell me, lads, you have to listen to the podcast because Niall O'Reilly is on it. You've got a massive fan club with all my mates. They don't even listen to me when I'm on it because they're sick of listening to me and me giving them losers. But your LFC group, as we call it in our WhatsApp group, the Liverpool group's number one fan, Niall. So there you go. No pressure.
That'd be unexpected. But yeah, cheers.
No, when National Day comes, we have to go for the A-team, and that's why we got Niall back. It's lovely to hear from you, Niall.
Keels wasn't available, so I had to come on.
Don't worry about that, DJ. You're always, always, always welcome, and let's hope your national tips, and indeed all your tips, run well. Thanks to Niall, thanks to DJ, and thanks, of course, to G-Rod as well. Most of all, though, thank you guys for listening. It's great to have you on the podcast, as always. I hope Grand National Day is good for you, and you managed to back a few winners, and don't... the one thing you don't want, of course, is the thing that always happens to me, where I get stuck in and have a few bets and they all get beat, and then my daughter has 50p on the 50-1 winner or whatever, and I've laid it as well. I haven't even bothered to put it on. So hopefully we can avoid that. Bet responsibly, have fun. Hope it's a great race. Hope they'll come back safe. Maddie will be reviewing the action next week, and then we're back on Monday, and then we're back next Friday for another Racing Post weekend racing postcast.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.